السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. أما بعد، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We move on now to another subheading, which is the rights of neighbors. And this is a very, very important thing in our deen. Giving due rights or due regard to the rights of neighbors is exceptionally important for anyone wishing to give their children a sound upbringing. Now the first question is, who are our neighbors? Who falls under the category of being our neighbors? Our neighbors are everyone living in the vicinity of 40 houses to our right hand side, our left hand side. Right? All these people are regarded as our neighbors. So if we have to count, for example, in our South African situation, if we go 20 houses to the right, because you got on this side of the road and on the opposite side of the road you got houses. So till 20 houses up on the right side, 20 houses up on the left side, and then also sometimes we have neighbors behind us, and sometimes we have neighbors in front of us. So all these people are regarded as our neighbors. In other words, the people living in our locality. Because all these people are your neighbors, there are certain rights that you owe to all of them. This definition of a neighbor is established from a hadith sharif narrated by Hazrat Ka'b ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala, which Imam Tabarani rahmatullahi alayhi has reported in his kitab. Hazrat Ka'b bin Malik rahmatullahi alayhi, Hazrat Ka'b bin Malik radiyallahu ta'ala says that a person once complained to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam that the people closest to him in his neighborhood are the ones who cause him the most difficulty. The people who are living closest to him, and that is normally the situation, right? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam immediately instructed Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala and Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala to stand at the doors of the masjid and announce that a neighbor extends up to 40 houses away, and that a person will not enter Jannah if his neighbors are not safe from his evil. That we mustn't be behaving in such a manner. You know, sometimes the husband and wife, they are arguing, swearing, shouting, disturbing the whole neighborhood. Sometimes we got a dawat at our house, so much of noise we're making till late at night. Sometimes we're doing qurbani in our backyard. Now we don't think that our neighbors are very close by. We don't clean the yard up nicely. There is a stench in the air. We didn't bury all the insides, etc. properly. Now the flies are all moving around there. It's causing taklif to the entire neighborhood. Right? So these are things that we have to worry about. There are four basic principles concerning the rights of neighbors, which are as follows. Number one. One should not cause any harm or difficulty to one's neighbor. Never ever cause any harm or difficulty. Don't go and build such a wall which is going to give him taklif. Don't engage in such activities which will give him taklif. Don't park in front of his driveway without his permission. Right? Number two, one should protect one's neighbor from people who may harm him. That we must be on the lookout for our neighbor. If we know that there are some people who are thieves and we see them watching our neighbor's house, so we must inform the neighbor. If our neighbor is not at home, we must keep an eye on the neighbor's house. Right? Number three, one should be friendly towards one's neighbors. Now remember, one is to be friendly, the other is to break Allah's command. Right? You cannot, now you are a lady, you can't start getting friendly with the neighbor's husband or the neighbor's big son. This is incorrect. The law of Shariat has to be observed. Yes, sometimes out of zarurat, you may have to say something, you may have to speak something in one or two sentences. Keep it just to that, nothing more. Right? Sometimes, if you need to address something, you need to speak some. Speak to the wife, speak to the woman folk. Number four, one should repay his rudeness and bad manners with tolerance and good conduct. Now this is the most difficult. Right? The first three, we say, okay, we mustn't cause any harm or difficulty, right? No problem. We must protect him, right? No problem. Number three, must be friendly towards the neighbors, right? No problem. Now number four, we happen to live next to a person who is totally, you know, irresponsible, the person is inconsiderate, intolerant, the person is rowdy and rude, but we must still maintain our good character. We must still be good towards that person. Never mind what they are doing. The wrong that they are doing, they are answerable for that. But we must still show good akhlaq. The ground rules governing one's behavior with one's neighbors have been outlined in a hadith sharif. It has been outlined in a hadith sharif which Khirati and Tabrani have reported from Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. He says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that person is not a proper believer who closes the doors of his home to his neighbors. That means the neighbors need something, but this person is so aloof that they can't even approach him. Right? And the one whose neighbors are not safe from his evil is not a true believer. Do you know what the rights of your neighbors are? Now he is enumerating the rights of the neighbors. Number one, you should help him when he requests your help. Number two, you should give him a loan if he asks you for one. Now remember, here again, you have to be hoshyar. Sometimes the neighbor is asking for a big loan, right? You are not in the financial capacity to give him that type of a loan. Then it doesn't mean that you have to put yourself in difficulty to give him the loan. Or for example, you know the neighbor has got a reputation of taking money from people and not paying back. So in that situation, you make some excuse, right? But for example, the neighbor needs a few tomatoes. She's cooking, right? She ran out of tomatoes. All of a sudden, she got visitors. She needs some milk. She needs some bread. She needs to borrow some utensils. So those things, we must lend it. Number three, you should visit when he is ill. You should grant him what he needs. You should console him in his grief. That there was a loss in the family or some loss in the wealth or whatever, go and console them. You should attend his funeral when he passes away. Now remember, this is for Muslim, right? If our neighbor is a Muslim and there is a janaza at the house, we must attend. However, if it's a non-Muslim, then what we do is either before or after the whole ceremony, we go and pay our respects, right? You should not build your house higher than his without his permission. Because obviously you're going to block his sunlight and obviously you are going to intrude on his privacy. Now if he got a single story house, he got a nice backyard there, everything. Now you go and build a double story house next door. Now you have taken away all his privacy. He can never ever be comfortable in his backyard. Right? His wife, now every time she wants to go in the backyard, she has to put her niqab on, put her parda on, because now you can see right into his backyard. So this is not nice. You should not cause difficulty for him with the steam of your cooking unless you intend giving him a share of it. That you are having a braai, you're having something, like the neighbors are poor people, they don't have food, now you are cooking, and they are going to get the smell of that food cooking, right? Then, and they don't have food in the home. Now imagine how difficult it is going to be for them. So either you are going to share with them, or you try your best not to give them takleef with the smell of your cooking. You should give him a share in the fruit you buy. If you cannot afford this, take the fruit secretly into your home and do not allow your child to eat the fruit outside where the neighbor's child may see. Now imagine how much of consideration that a Muslim has to have, how much he has to be on guard not to give somebody takleef. That now, for example, you bought a watermelon, the neighbor may be a poor person. So when you're taking it inside the house also, take it in such a way that they don't see. Or you share with them. If you are going to take it in the house openly, then share with them. Right? And if you can't share with them, you're not well off, you don't have enough to share with them, you just have a little bit for your family, then eat it in such a way that they don't see. Tell your children also, don't let the neighbor's child see you. In today's time, it's all about boasting. I got this brand clothes, we got this, we got that. It's not supposed to be that way. Now imagine the neighbor's child, if the neighbor cannot afford to buy a certain ice cream for his child, right? Now that child sees the children of this house eating that particular ice cream. Now how that child will feel? So even that wrapper, the sweet wrapper and all that, must be disposed in such a way that the neighbor's children don't see it. So it doesn't give them any takleef. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has also counted good behavior towards one's neighbors as one of the traits of iman, as one of the signs of good iman. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, "One who believes in Allah Ta'ala, one who believes in Allah Ta'ala and the last day, that means the day of Qiyamah, ought to honor his neighbors." A person should honor his neighbor if he believes in Allah Ta'ala and the last day. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahmatullahi alayhi had a Jewish neighbor whom he treated so well that when the Jew put his house for sale, he fixed a price of 2,000 dinars, 2,000 gold coins. When people complained that his house is only worth 1,000 dinars, I told him, you selling for 2,000 dinars is like, say for example, a person's house is worth 500,000 and that person is selling his house for 1 million. He said, hey, what's wrong with you? This house is only worth 500,000. Where are you putting a price tag of 1 million rand? So listen to the jawab that he gave. Listen to the answer that he gave. He said, 1,000 dinars is for the house. And the other 1,000 dinars is for having a wonderful neighbor like Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahmatullah alayhi. That if you buy my house, you are going to become the neighbor of Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahmatullah alayhi. And what a good neighbor, what a treasure that is. So 1,000 dinars you're paying for that. A good neighbor is a great treasure. To create a good neighborhood, we should present an excellent example. If our neighbor is a non-Muslim, we should display the proper Islamic character so that the neighbor will be encouraged to accept Islam. On the other hand, if we are not fortunate enough to have a Muslim neighbor, we should make an effort to ensure that the neighbor's entire family... On the other hand, if we are fortunate enough to have a Muslim neighbor, one is if we got non-Muslim neighbors, we must show them good akhlaq with the intention that, oh Allah, let them accept Islam. And if we have a Muslim neighbor, then we must make an effort that all the members of the family of our neighbor must become pious and righteous. Right? We should therefore never allow our neighbors to leave our house without hearing some story or lesson in Islam. The neighbor's children come, give them some ice cream, tell them something about deen. I remember when I must have been 4, 5, 6 years old or something. So where we were staying, my father was renting a house. So in the back of the house, there was an outbuilding. So there was another couple, husband and wife, young couple. They must have been just newly married or something. So they were renting the outbuilding. They were living in the outbuilding. So that young lady, now she was bought bichari, her husband goes to work the whole day, and we were a whole lot of children, maybe 4 or 5 children now, you know, living next door, next door. In those days, we shouldn't have big, big walls between the houses and all of that. So we used to all be running around one another's yards. So she, every time she used to call us to spend time with her. And what she used to do, she used to cut green apple. She used to cut green apple and take salt and chilies. You know, salt and chilies, put it in one saucer. And then she used to cut the green apple and must dip that green apple in the salt and chilies and eat. It used to be very tasty. Used to, you know, tantalize the taste buds a little bit. So then we used to go and sit around with her. Then she'll tell us something and something. Some Islamic story or something. She'll tell us something about deen. I don't know where they went after that. Allah Pak give them barakat in their lives. But khair. So in our neighborhood, there are some children, whatever, they want to come and play with your child. So no problem, let them come and play. Then give them some juice if it's a hot day. And then teach them something about deen. Tell them something about deen. In fact, as Muslims, our concern should be that every person throughout the world becomes righteous and practicing Muslims. Now this is such an important thing, and especially if, you know, the other day I received an email from a lady, from a young lady. So she says that a certain person has proposed for me. He is an alim also. He has come to see me. We tend to have similar interests, etc. And he has now proposed. But the only thing that is putting me off is that I am, my family background is tasawuf. We've always been in tasawuf. And this alim, he is very, very involved in tabligh. And his family also is very, very involved in tabligh. So I'm afraid now, you know, like I'm not used to tabligh. I've never been out in Jamaat and I've never been really exposed to it. Now I'm afraid that if I get married in that family, you know, they may now tell me that I need to go out in Jamaat and, you know, I need to conduct a ta'lim, and I don't know if I'll be able to manage all these things. So I explained to her that, look, Ben, this should be the least of your worries. Right? This should be the least of your worries. Make it known, tell your father to make it known to the Maulana that you are very, very green when it comes to tabligh. You've never ever went out in Jamaat. You haven't been exposed to tabligh. So he must please, you know, teach you slowly, teach you the work slowly. Don't expect you to just, you know, go full swing into it because you are new to it. Must teach you the work slowly. However, if you think about it, it is the responsibility of each and every one of us to spread the deen of Allah. Right? It's a responsibility, it's your responsibility, it's my responsibility. We are supposed to spread the deen of Allah, ensure that everybody becomes righteous, the non-Muslims become believers, the believers become better believers. Right? This is our job. So now, if Allah Pak blesses you with a husband who is engaged in the work of deen, right? You may not be able to do what your husband is doing. You got the children at home, you got the house to see to, you are a lady, right? But your husband has blessed you, Allah Pak has blessed you with a husband who is engaged in the work of deen. So you must take it as this is your contribution. You making the khidmat of your husband and you making the sacrifice of being away from him, because he is now engaged in the khidmat of deen. He is going in Jamaat or he is going town to town or whatever khidmat of deen he may be making. So you take it as, you know what, this is my contribution. The qurbani that I have to make, the sabr that I have to make being apart from my husband, and he is engaged in the work of deen. This is my contribution towards the upliftment of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because just as it is important for me to teach my own children deen, it is important for me to teach the children of the world also deen. Just as it is important for me to be on deen, it is important for every other brother and sister of mine to be on deen. Just as it is important for my marriage to be according to Sharia and how I want to be happy in my marriage, I want everybody else also to be happy in their marriages. I want everybody else also to make their home Sharia compliant. So if Allah Pak has used my husband, the lady should think, if Allah Pak has used my husband for the deen, because Allah Pak can use anybody. Allah Pak doesn't have to use this certain person or that certain person. Just now before I came to teach you all, a lady phones me. She says, Maulana, I need some advice. My husband and his mother, they are not talking to one another. There was some family dispute or something. They're not talking to one another. Right? She's telling me now. I was listening to one of Maulana Suleiman Mullah's bayans last night. And he mentioned in that bayan that if the parents are not happy with the child can never prosper, the child can never progress in life. So what must I do now? My husband is not talking to his mother. What must I do to sort the problem out? Now my point is, Maulana Suleiman Mullah, maybe he gave that bayan in Australia. Maybe he gave that bayan in America. Maybe he gave that bayan in Pietermaritzburg. I don't know where. But the time when he went to give that bayan, now must know, the whole week he's teaching in the Darul Uloom, right? He's teaching. Then he comes home, then he got his social cases, he got this, he got that. Then he has to still take out time to go and give bayans, this part of the world, that part of the world, this part of the world. Maybe he gave that bayan 5 years ago. His wife had to sacrifice that, you know what, never mind, now my husband has to go to Australia, they're calling him to give the bayan. Never mind, I'll make dua, Allah Pak, take him safely, let me pack his podcast for him, pack his bag for him, happily let me send him off, right? Now he goes to Australia, he gave that bayan. Maybe it's a 5-year-old bayan. But today, this lady heard this bayan. And she now will become a means of her husband patching up with his mother. Now what a great neki. Maulana Suleiman Mullah may not even get to know about this also. He may not even get to know that he was the means of the son making peace with his mother. Right? But he will get the full sawab for it, and his wife and children who made the sacrifice, because he had to go out now and serve the deen, they made the sacrifice, they too will get the full sawab, the full reward, the full ajr. But somebody has to make the sacrifice. And if Allah Pak chooses your husband to make the sacrifice, be happy. Because Allah Pak didn't have to choose him. If Allah Pak gives you, Allah Pak can give you a husband who's a businessman. Right? He's just making money, making your ears heavy with jewelry, making your neck heavy with necklaces, buying for you new cloaks, taking you overseas holiday here, there. You're very happy. But are you building palaces in Jannat? Right? Are you making qurbani for Allah's deen? Are you sitting and pining for your husband and saying, you know, my husband, but he's gone for the khidmat of Allah's deen, for the benefit of the ummat. I have to sit here and be alone. But never mind, Ya Allah, this is for you. I'm doing it for you. Ya Allah, you keep us together in Jannat. You won't have that. You won't have that. If you are married to a big businessman or something, engineer, professional person, you won't enjoy this taluk ma Allah. You won't enjoy that level. Right? So if Allah Pak blesses you with a husband, one is you don't know what is your taqdeer. Allah Pak has written who you're going to get married to. But if Allah Pak has to bless you with a husband whom Allah has chosen for the khidmat of his deen, and Allah has chosen you to be his wife. Allah could have chosen anybody to be his wife. But Allah chooses you to be his wife. And Allah chose him to be the khadim of his deen, then make a lot of shukr.
make a lot of shukr, because Allah Pak was under no obligation to do that. For 50 years, 60 years, you'll make sabr in this dunya. After that, in Jannat, you'll have Raj. In Jannat, then eternity, he'll hold your hand and sit. Then he won't have to go to make any khidmat of deen anyway. He won't have to give any bayans anyway. Nothing. He'll just surround with you. For eternity, you'll be in bliss and happiness and luxury. So if your husband is somebody who is going to be serving the deen of Allah, make shukr and must make dua, Allah Pak give you a husband like that. Must make dua, Allah Pak give you a husband who has got a passion for serving the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Understand? So khair, this whole advice came from the point that it is our responsibility, not only for our own children, not only for ourselves, not only for our own family members, but this responsibility is on our shoulders, that the whole world, every non-Muslim must become a Muslim. Every Muslim must become a better Muslim. Just as we will worry about the akhlaq of our children, we must worry about the akhlaq of the neighbor's children, our nieces and nephews. Just as we will be concerned whether our children are reading Sunnah, we must be concerned about them also. Just as we are worried about ourselves, we must worry about every lady in the neighborhood also. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. We'll continue with this tomorrow inshallah. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.